Today on Real Radio.
So we drove up to Santa Barbara, and before we drove up there, I said, Lord, show us something really cool today. You guys, this is a God-centric worldview. My daughter heard me pray it. I prayed it out loud as we're driving down or driving up, heading out the 101 up the coast. What happened? Tons of dolphins were leaping in the waves and out of the shore that we could see from the 101 highway. And I said, God, thank you for showing something. That's really cool. Parents, start doing that. Yeah, but Jack, what if God doesn't show us something cool? You know what? Those of us who just got back from Israel, did we not pray that every day on the bus? I'll grab the microphone. Lord, bless our day. Keep us healthy. Keep the driver safe. All this stuff. And show us something cool. And he did every day.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible. It's a topical series that explores those passages of Scripture that guide us believers in practical and godly living. Our current mini-series on parenting has proved to be quite valuable, and as we've seen so far, Scripture contains much more material on this than most realize. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in Being a Christian While Being a Parent.
The verse means train up a child in the way that he should go. It means that the parent is to study the personality and the characteristic traits of each individual child. Remember last week I said how you can have two kids who come from the same parents and they come from the same spot. I've been in the delivery room. They came from the same spot. And they're completely different people. You think if they came from the same place, you could, hey, we've done this before. Number two is going to be like number one. Are you kidding? How many of you have two or more kids? Raise your hand. Are they not different people? It's almost like God goes, watch this. And he gives you a spitball. Just wham, here comes number two. And it's like, you know, we know how to parent. We raised a kid. Just wait till number two comes along. And then number three, number four, number five. And that's why people keep having kids. It's like, what's coming next? I got to see this. How can people be so different coming from the same spot? Because God is in all that, and not one person's the same when it comes down to the details. It's amazing. And you and I are to study our children. Do you have kids? Study them. What do they love? What are their interests? What are their propensities? What are they leaning towards in this life? Is one more analytical than the other? Is one more auditory of a learner and the other one more of a reader? Know them. And when you know them, then steer them in that direction. Oh, I could go off on this. There was I won't, but I'm close to. There was such a huge debate in early America among our founding fathers in the United States Congress. Did you know this? That they said, you know what? We've got a great concern. The kids are being homeschooled and they're just so smart. But you know what? We fear, by the way, Dr. Benjamin Rush, Benjamin Franklin, and Daniel Webster came up with this idea. And Thomas Jefferson, four of those guys, came up with this idea that I'm going to tell you about. They said, and you can read it, Library of Congress. They said, we have a concern. Kids are being homeschooled and they're brilliant and that's great. But we fear that we're losing control of the kids. And we need to create, listen, a public school system that will require the Bible to be taught in their curriculum. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope this is on film. Do you have this? This is in our founding documents. You can read them in the Library of Congress, that these four founding fathers said we need to start a public school system to ensure that the Bible is taught in public schools. That's the founding of America, and you don't even recognize it. You have never even probably heard that before. That's how far we've drifted as a nation from God. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so, with instruction, as you look to that child, as you learn about that little guy and that little girl, steer them in the way that they show interest towards. And for those of you who have the time, you go back and you research the upbringing of some of the greatest scientists, for example, or those who have had a great influence, both positive or negative, in our world. Have you studied? Have you read a little bit? I've read only a little bit, but enough to make me sick. Have you read the upbringing of Saddam Hussein? Have you taken the time to look at how his relationship was with his father? Did you know Saddam Hussein was severely abused as a child? Beaten, molested, abandoned, horrible life. You look at the life of others, say, on the positive side, where a man had a horrible life and would never give up. He was told to persevere. By the way, it just so happens, I'm picking on this guy because he's a great guy, but it just dawns on me that he was a tremendous believer, and I've had a chance to personally, with my own eyes, see his Bible. I couldn't touch it, but I got to see it. I was only about 18 inches away from it, and that's Abraham Lincoln's Bible. Amen. In Washington. And did you know he learned from the scriptures to persevere? You want to find out, you think you've got hard times? You ought to read the life of Abraham Lincoln. Everything that guy touched turned to nothing. His kids died, his wife died. I mean, his life was a mess. He ran for office, he kept losing. He got sick, he was a mess. He was also famous for being one of the, or if not, the ugliest politician America has ever produced. Did you know that? And one of the candidates running against him, this has nothing to do with the message, I don't know why I'm saying this. One of the candidates running against Abraham Lincoln said, "You know what, I accuse you, Lincoln, of being two-faced." And Lincoln said, "Are you kidding me? If I was two-faced, do you think I'd be wearing this face?" Isn't that a great comeback? What a great line. Well, as we learn from Wayne, it's either surfing that you'll hide yourself into or something else in life, or it's surfing or something else in life that you're developed, that God wants to use in your life. Here we go, picking it up where we left off last time. Now our study begins, and then it's almost over. Number 7, a Christian parent forms a God-centric worldview. That's up to a Christian parent to get a hold of your child and to form within them a God-centric worldview. Number 1, that God's the creator. Come on out and listen to Ben Stein's movie and find out why that's important. That God made everything, that God made them, that God cares about them. When you tuck them into bed, parents, listen, if your kids are small enough, I say, here's what small enough means to me regarding this issue. If they still live in your house, I don't care if he's 6'9", tuck him into bed tonight. That was great. Talk him into bed. Listen, he's in your house. If he's living in your house, parent, you can do anything you want with him. If he's eating your food, you got all rights. But he's 45 years old. He's eating your food, you're going to tell him what to do. If he doesn't want to listen to what you want to do, boot the guy out. You tuck him into bed and you tell him, listen right here, right now. God loves you. God designed you. God made you. Now tomorrow get up and go get a job. A God-centric worldview. Your little kids running around, I tell you, you know what, you guys, I don't even know it was this week, or I've been blasted by time and then just going too much, but very recently, in the matter of the last few days, you know, it's been so warm and all this stuff, and I looked out, and there were 2 monarch butterflies mating in our backyard, and I've never seen that happen before. You know, those things are big, for one thing, and beautiful. And I didn't know that when they lock together, they just kind of fall down to the ground, and then they hit the ground, and they break away, and they fly back up, and they do that again. And I saw that. I've never seen that before. So I knew that my daughter Rebecca was over at her house, and I said, "Rebecca! Rebecca!" She comes running in the room. I don't know what she thought. What? I go, "Look at that!" And we stood there and we watched this. I'd never seen that before. She has grown up hearing, Rebecca, look at that. A God-centric worldview. Listen, you can do it this way simply with your kids. I remember Britt Merrick, he made my, Al Merrick, his dad, world most famous surfboard shaper in the world. Kelly Slater uses all of his boards, all that stuff. I remember Britt made my daughter, Ashley, a surfboard. And he said, come on up and pick up this board. And so we drove up to Santa Barbara. And before we drove up there, I said, Lord, show us something really cool today. Now, she was about 18 years old at the time. And I said, Lord, just show us something really cool today. You guys, this is a God-centric worldview. My daughter heard me pray it. I prayed it out loud as we're driving down or driving up, heading out the 101 up the coast. What happened? Tons of dolphins were leaping in the waves and out of the shore that we could see from the 101 highway. And I said, God, thank you for showing something. That's really cool. Parents, start doing that. Yeah, but Jeff, what if God doesn't show us something cool? You know what? Those of us who just got back from Israel, did we not pray that every day on the bus? I'll grab the microphone. Lord, bless our day. Keep us healthy. Keep the driver safe. All this stuff. And show us something cool. And he did every day. From Israeli attack helicopters flying across the desert to storks migrating from Africa up into Northern Europe. We saw it. God does that stuff. Parents, just do it. Show them a God-centric world. It's amazing. 1 Kings 22, 42 to 43 says, now Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shahai, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Did you hear that? Jehoshaphat did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Where did he learn it from? From his father. That is awesome. A child comes into the world and they're like a blank book, and you write on them what you say to them, what you do to them, what you guys experience. Their mind and their soul and their spirit is being imprinted with emotion, pictures, thoughts, just that smell. As I could smell the hyssop of my Bible from that trip. I told you before, growing up as a kid, my dad, I remember hanging onto my dad's hand as a little kid and smelling his forearms. And whatever he used for soap, if I smell that smell today, it reminds me instantly of where I was at, how little I was in San Diego, of my hanging onto my dad's arm. What about you? Take a smell of something. Or have you heard a song? Immediately. You know how your brain goes back to that place like that? Man, as a parent, we get to instill that kind of stuff in our kids every day. It's awesome. A God-centric worldview we are placing into our children. Tremendous things. Number eight is this. A Christian parent surrenders their child to God. Mom and dad, listen up. This is not going to be comfortable for some of you. A Christian parent must surrender their child to God. Sooner or later, you're going to have to surrender your kid to God. Sometimes, I spoke at our ministry on Monday night here, Seasons of Grief. And you go around that room, you ask people, you find out from people that what is it that they're grieving, what loss is it in their life. This ministry is for those who have lost someone dear to them. And you know, in that room, it's husbands they've lost, wives. Some of them have lost their life partner, husband married almost 50 years, you know. How do you continue on? And then you come around the room, oh, it's our daughter. We buried our daughter 12 years ago. That shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have to bury your kid. But it happens. It doesn't have to be through death. In most cases, parents, we have to learn to surrender our kids to God. When Ashley was 8 months old, she got sick. Lisa took her to the doctor's office in Anaheim. She got a shot. We had no idea that our youngest daughter is allergic to much or many forms of antibiotics. They can kill her. She has a very rare form of a disorder called Stevens-Johnson's syndrome. You get a certain antibiotic in you to kill you. And she started to react so fast, Lisa rushed her to a the hospital. The hospital rushed her to St. Jude's, St. Joseph's to St. Jude's in a pediatric critical care unit. She was all by herself. She is quarantined, 8 months old. And the doctor, the pediatric hematologist came out. They said, listen, her blood's infected and she has about a 50% chance to live. You know what you do at that moment as a Christian? You go down to the cafeteria and you sit down there with your wife, and your wife sits down with me, the husband. Lisa and I sit down together, and you know what? You're overwhelmed. And it is the most fantastic moment when you are reminded that you did not create this child. God did. He brought her into the world, and you are faced with this immediate, unrelenting demand of God. She's mine, let her go. Abraham did that with Isaac on the altar, didn't he? He's mine. Your child belongs to God. And I remember Lisa and I were praying and we just relinquished. Okay, Lord, you're right. She's yours. And I remember, I'll never forget, we're in the cafeteria. It was a Saturday. And by the way, back then, Pastor Chuck Smith did about 4 weddings a day on a Saturday at Calvary Chapel. Lisa and I were sitting there and we looked up. And Chuck Smith was walking by heading out of the hospital. He's supposed to be doing weddings on Saturday. Pastor Chuck, Pastor Chuck, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Ashley, he says, I know Ashley's here. I was just up with her in her room. And he said, I prayed for her. And he goes, I think she's going to be fine. Now, he doesn't say things like that. He said, I just think she's going to be fine. Well, that word didn't come to us from Pastor Chuck until we had given her up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mom and Dad, do you hear what I'm saying? You see, Jack, it doesn't relate to what I'm talking about because my kids are about ready to go to college or get married or they're just at home. Listen, you're going to have to give them up. In some way, shape, or form, you got to give them up. The Bible says that in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can read that chapter in detail later, but Hannah got pregnant, remember? Remember she couldn't get pregnant? Then she got pregnant. She cried out to the Lord, I want a baby. She didn't have a baby. She couldn't get pregnant. Then God said, I'm in control here. I'll open that womb when I want to, and I'll close it when I want to. And God, the Bible says, opened her womb, and she got pregnant. And she said, Lord, I dedicate this child to you. This is your baby. When that baby comes out, this is your baby. And when Samuel popped out, she said, Lord, this is your baby. And Samuel grew up to be a prophet and a kingmaker for the nation of Israel. Hannah gave him up before he ever came out. Are you pregnant tonight? Are you adopting? Are you in the process? Dedicate that child now to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's one verse that will take the entire rest of your life and mine combined. Trust in the Lord with all your heart versus lean not or lean on your understanding. That's trouble. Trust in God or lean on yourself? No, God says, look, trust in me and don't lean on yourself. You can't lean on yourself and trust God at the same time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We teach our kids to be, listen, Christians, we teach our kids to be dependent upon God and independent from anyone else, including mom and dad. Hear me out. You are their parent and you will always be their parent. But part of the parent's job, as I said last week, is to not be their best friend. You are to be their parent. You are the authority of their life from the day go until the end. And that's death. And you're to have a very special place. And you lead them and guide them and steer them. All the while, a parent's goal is to breed into their child a sense of independence from man, including parents, and a dependence upon God. It would be wrong for you to teach them an independence from man without a dependence upon God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Boy, it's quiet in here. Don't lean on people, son. Lean on the Lord. Son, daughter, people will let you down. I'm not freaking you out. I'm not blowing your mind. I'm just going to tell you, people with the best intentions are going to let you down. That's just part of humanity. But God will never let you down. Teach them that. Instill that within them over and over again. Number 9, a Christian parent never retires from parenting. I said parenting, not parroting. Oh, what do you want for breakfast? What do you want? No, parenting, not parenting. Mommy, I want this. You know, some homes, and the kids is, I want this now. What do you want now? Like you're a parrot. You're a parent, not a parrot. You're the parent. And the kid is to not tell you to take the trash out. Hey, Mom, the trash is getting pretty full there. You ought to be thinking about taking it out. No, that's what you do. Until you leave here, you're the trash man of the house. I'm dead serious. How do you think they're ever going to have their own home? Oh, we want to have our own home. What is? Can Dad come over and mow our lawn? Are you kidding me? You get Junior out there, and I don't know how to start the lawnmower. He needs to learn how to start the lawnmower. They need to learn how to save money. And we'll never retire from that. Your kids still call you, hey, Dad. You know, they might be 40, 50 years old. They're calling you up, Dad, what do you think I should do about this thing? Well, tell me about it. Did you pray about it? What's the Lord telling you to do? Third question. Let's talk about it. Tell me about it. Did you talk to God about it? Let's talk about it. Parenting, you never retire from that, no matter how old you get. You'll always be their parent. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. This is if you want to live on your own and have a normal, awesome life. Apply your heart to instruction instead of handouts and your ears to the words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from your child. If you punish him with the switch or the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, sharing some biblical wisdom in a mini-series called Being a Christian While Being a Parent, part of a greater series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a recently completed series by our teacher, and it's now available for purchase in either CD or DVD. You can find out more by visiting us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and read about it right there on the front page, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, be sure and click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to look into that as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.